das war. Tatsavitu vareniyam Bargo devasyali mahi Piyo yona prachodayat Om Bhurbhu Vasva Tatsavitu vareniyam Bargo devasyali mahi Piyo.
That music was from an album called The Essence by Diva Premal, and that track was called, and I'm sure I'm going to mispronounce that, Gayatri Mantra. Yoga has been practiced in the US since the late 19th century, but it only really gained popularity around the 1960s, and it began to take off in the 80s and 90s, and today yoga is huge. Approximately 1 in 10 Americans now practice yoga, and last year a whopping $6 billion was spent on yoga products, and of those who practice it, around 70% are women. More recently, yoga is increasingly being prescribed by doctors as both a restorative and preventative measure.
Cross your ankles and have your knees on the same height, because if you take your hands and you go from the top of your thighs inward, you're going to find your groin muscles, and we want to deepen those groin muscles, have them go way down. Good. So then, feel as if we're almost making a pyramid shape. So the groin muscles are going down, the thighs are opening, and now take your belly slightly back so you really find those sitting bones. You could even look down into the center of your belly. And take a breath. And then take one hand to your solar plexus, that's above the belly, and the other hand behind to your thoracic back, your ribcage, and lift up. Beautiful. So we're holding the thoracic part of our torso. Good. Now bring your hands onto your thighs and bring your elbows back alongside your torso. They're like the bridge on the side of the chest. Close your eyes, relax your jaw, and lengthen the back of your neck so you feel like your head is floating on top of your neck. See if you can begin to shed all of the thoughts, the ideas that you brought in here, and become present in this moment within yourself. Bring your palms together. Take your thumbs, turn them in towards your breastbone, and fan your fingers out as if they're light radiating out of your center. And let's join our voices in three ohms, taking a deep inhale. Om.
Terry Schaff, part anatomy teacher, part philosopher, and a full-time yoga instructor. Welcome to Between the Lines, Terry.
Thank you so much.
Terry has been teaching yoga in the Hudson Valley for 6 years, out of Sedona here in Hudson, and also in Rhinebeck at Bard College, Catskill, and in New York City. She believes in taking yoga out of the studio and into the community, and she specializes in working with seniors and children. She's also an advocate of practicing yoga as a means of preventing or addressing osteoporosis, and works with Dr. Lauren Fishman in New York as a yoga therapist. So, Terry, let me begin by asking you, why do you think yoga is so popular today?
You know, Anne, it's a really good question. I think we're all looking for ways to find meaning in our lives. And the part of yoga that's not just the physical aspect that's giving a personal meaning, becoming more in touch with who we are, with our connection to other people and to our environment. It's a time of tremendous chaos in the world, and we're looking to find, as I often think about it, a home within ourselves.
Hmm. Interesting. I hadn't thought of it like that before, but I suppose that's true. So why don't you describe your how you practice yoga and what your philosophy is.
Well, I am one of those people who believe that there is an aspect of yoga that is really for everyone, no matter how old you are, no matter what your physical condition is. And it is, again, that connection, finding out a bit of self-discovery, which can be very exciting if we can slow down enough to get in touch with ourselves as individuals. And again, our connection to each other, to our communities, which is why all the yoga that I teach just about is community yoga. I only teach one yoga class that's in a yoga studio. And the only class that I teach in a yoga studio is here in Hudson. And I love that class because it's $5. And if you don't have it, you should come anyway. We'll make room for you. It's really should be a place where money is not an object. In fact, that's originally yoga was not relating to money at all. Yogis worked with students one-on-one. And that aspect of it is, I think, tremendously important. And it's hard as a yoga teacher to remember that aspect when you're in a big class, which is why I love this work that I'm now doing in New York City with a physician, with Dr. Lauren Fishman, who, even before he went to medical school, he spent a year in India becoming a yoga teacher, studying with BKS Iyengar. And he's a great teacher for me to continue to teach me how to teach yoga safely to everyone. There is, in my opinion, no reason for anybody to ever get injured during doing yoga. Yoga is the opposite of what we see going on in gyms. We're not micro-tearing muscles. We're moving with breath. We're waking up consciousness in our mind through our bodies. And that means that we're listening to ourselves. And when we feel pain, we should stop and back off.
And so what about your work with patients with osteoporosis and yoga as a means of preventing osteoporosis?
Well, that work very specifically came out of working with Dr. Lauren Fishman. He's been running a clinical trial for 3 years studying osteoporosis and yoga, and he put together a curriculum of yoga poses. And they're adapted for if you have healthy bones, if you are beginning to have osteoporosis, osteopenia, which is the earlier stages of it, or if you've got the full-fledged osteoporosis. Now, osteoporosis is a condition where your bones become very flimsy, very porous, and there's many ways that one could treat that. There's medicines that people could take, but in yoga, the three ways of addressing it is to hold poses for a long time, to hug your skin to your muscle to your bone, to tighten up the mineral density of the bones. There's also, it's being discovered that by doing certain movements, we actually encourage our DNA to keep regenerating new bone, that we grow new bone as we get, we continue to grow new bone all our entire lives, and we slow down the process of bone loss. So there's three aspects to that, which is really fascinating. So I am using Dr. Fishman's curriculum with students. I actually teach a class for people with osteoporosis in New York City. That's different than, I think, the rest of what I'm doing, which is more maybe back to your question of community yoga. And I'm in a really unusual position. I've been so lucky. I've had the city of Hudson that has been employing me for 3 years to work with children initially and now with senior citizens. And the children's work was a little challenging because it was at the Hudson Youth Center, and that's a drop-in center. But right. Out of that...
And that's down where? That's here in just off Warren Street?
That's right. It's on 3rd, between
3rd.
Warren and Union.
Uh-huh.
And I have to say, I think it was the really inspired leadership of Trudy Beck, who's the director of that center, where she encouraged me to get the senior citizens that I was then brought in to work with. That was a separate grant that came to see if there was a way that the two groups could work together. So we tried family yoga, and most of the children's parents were too busy to come to that, but the senior citizens involved in the senior yoga class started coming. And
we've got a friendly local train passing by right now.
But you really know you're in the community.
Yes, we're definitely in the community, yes.
And out of that, the different senior citizens that have been participating in senior yoga, and that program's gone on for over 3 years, one of them built or designed a box garden for kids to grow crops in. She's a landscape architect, Elsa Lavasseur. And another one, Carol Clark, who had owned a well-known restaurant in town, taught the children in yoga how to cook. And then we would do a yoga class while everything was in the oven, and we'd eat together. So we called this program Kids in the Kitchen Yoga Buddies. And that was one of the finer moments of community, of children doing yoga, senior citizens doing yoga.
And helping each other, learning from one another, yeah.
And a meeting grounds in the middle. So at some point, that drop-in program at the Hudson Youth Center came to an end, though the senior yoga is still carrying on. And Columbia Greene County Mental Health asked me to work with children in the after-school programs in Catskill and in Hudson. And some of the senior citizens in this senior yoga program continued to be involved, and some of my Bard College students. And this, I think this has been a great program because we started to collaboratively teach, and I would run a training program so we'd become a team. And instead of just one person, we'd have four adults in a classroom. So we'd kind of anchor the space for the kids, and if one of us didn't relate to the children, another person would. And the results out of this program have been fascinating. The kids seem to love it.
Mm-hmm.
The parents love it. They describe that their kids go home and teach them yoga. Teachers say that kids with some behavioral issues are finding ways to cope with being a team player, dealing with their emotions, and even the administrators seem to like the program too. So I find it fascinating when a six-year-old will come into a classroom and say to me, "I've been sent here because I have anger issues." I go, "Oh my goodness." Well, or "This is the only place where I feel good about myself."
Oh my goodness.
So this is a program that we all love. It's been, and it's ran out of funding in the middle of January. Columbia Greene County Mental Health has run out of funding, so I'm hoping we'll be able to start it again. Community yoga, some of the kids I've worked with in the school, I now have three generations of family members in Hudson where I'm working with the grandparents and the parents and their children. Where else in a city like this would something like that be possible?
Right, quite, yeah. So since you started practicing yoga, how has it evolved?
Oh my goodness. I started practicing yoga almost 40 years ago. I'll date myself. And when I started yoga, I was a major in history and philosophy of science at Princeton University. And I would say it was the philosophy of yoga that interested me the most, this finding meaning in our lives. And the postures are very similar to the postures we do now, but nobody at that time talked about alignment of postures. Meditation was definitely a part of it. I don't know anybody who knew the name of any posture. It wasn't until I decided to take a yoga teacher training program that I started learning these names. And I don't know about you, 10 years ago, I don't remember anybody using these Sanskrit names. That's a big change.
Yeah, they're wonderful, but very hard to remember, I have to say, Terry. You know, I think I have to stick with downward dog.
And I think that's just fine. So big changes. It was a gentle flow. Some of them were these challenging balances, but there were not all these very distinct practices that one could choose to follow, whether it was hot, whether you have a choice now of this hot yoga, Bikram yoga, Ashtanga yoga, established yeah. by Pattabhi Joyce, which is a vinyasa, a flow from yeah. pose to pose, yeah. or the more the therapeutic style of yeah. yoga. These terms didn't even exist.
Right. I mean, when I started yoga, which was also a long time ago, I've been doing it intermittently, I have to say, ever since. It was just hatha yoga. That was it. There was the one kind. But there was a phase, though, especially when I was living in New York, when you could do disco yoga, you could do spinning yoga, you could do rough yoga with dogs. I mean, any kind of yoga you could imagine, you could do it. Do you think these were just fads? Or have we sort of moved on from that now?
They certainly sound like fads to me. I didn't do any of those. And some of this is, you can make something sound so universal that it loses all meaning when I start reading about yoga for infertility and mm-hmm. yoga for this. And, well, on one level, I can totally relate. You use your breathing to slow down your heartbeat. We know we can do that. That's being medically shown. Deep, slow, even breaths, our thinking process can definitely improve. We can lower hypertension. Mm-hmm. So if your infertility issue is that you're so tense, you're so wired, yoga can definitely help you to relax. But right. it's not a panacea right. for everything, or it is, you know, it depends how you want to look at it.
Right. Do you think community yoga is growing? Because there's also a class over in Catskill.
Well, that's the same studio owner. You mm-hmm. know, that's wonderful Sandra Loring, who she owns that studio jointly with Jesse Montague, and they jointly own a studio in Rhinebeck too. And I think it's a wonderful philosophy, which is at the core of yoga. It's mm-hmm. not a business. It should be ideally available.
A lot of people do treat it as a business.
To everyone. And it's a fine line. I make my living as a yoga teacher. I don't have another profession.
Right, right. Yes, well, we all have to make a living.
But I am, I have been just phenomenally fortunate to have had institutions, mainly institutions and grants, mm-hmm. underwrite the work that I've done. So. Yeah. The only class that I actually have to collect money in is the community yoga class
oh, right.
in Rhinebeck.
Right.
I mean, I'm sorry, in Hudson. What right. town am I in?
Today it's Hudson.
Today it's Hudson.
I know you travel a lot. Any thoughts as to why there are more women who practice yoga than men?
I have no idea, particularly since when yoga originated.
It was men.
It was right. It wasn't even available to women. And at the community yoga class that you and I were both at mm-hmm. last night, there were 22 women and 2 men.
I remember you mentioning that in the class for the sake of our two men here, for the benefit of our two men. Yes. So I mean, it looks like yoga has become an entrenched part of all our lives. Do you think it's going to continue to grow?
I don't know. I mean, we do have fads of things. We do have trends when things become really popular and then the next one comes in. Mm-hmm. Yoga's been around and practiced for thousands of years, but not the way it's being practiced right now. I think it's still on the up curve as the medical profession is getting more interested in using it, because I have a lot of people who now...
Yeah, that's such a fascinating development, I think.
That's a big change. So I have now a lot of people, particularly older people, who come, and whether they're working with me one-on-one or in groups, who go, my doctor told me to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do this, but I don't have a choice.
But once they get into it... Presumably, they realize the life-changing benefits.
Or else they don't come back.
Okay. Well, we've got a couple of minutes left. Is there anything you'd like to add that I haven't asked you? Anything you'd like to mention?
Oh, I guess I mentioned a plug for Columbia Greene County Mental Health so we could continue the children's yoga program in the schools. If people are interested in learning more about yoga for osteoporosis, the doctor that I work with, who I have tremendous respect for, is giving a talk at Oblong Books in Rhinebeck on April 10th at 4 p.m. One other interesting change or development that I think that Dr. Fishman is at the forefront, and I do see yoga moving more in this direction as it's included as an adjunct to the medical profession, is that yoga teachers working with doctors and with physical therapists as a team. And that's the newest kind of work that's going on that I'm involved with. I teach a back care class in New York City at Manhattan Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation for people with back issues. And yoga teachers were trained in a certain language which is different than a physical therapist, than different than a doctor. And when you bring these different modalities together, you can have a team approach that can be very helpful to people. So I'm hoping that we'll see some of that here in town, maybe at our local hospital. And nationally, I think we will see this kind of team effort.
Well, it certainly seems to make sense. Well, thank you so much, Terry Shaw, for helping us all find a home within ourselves.
Thank you.
You can go to her website, terryshaw.com, and on Wednesdays from 6 to 7:30, you can find her teaching here at St. Anna and Hudson on Warren Street, doing community yoga. Thank you.
Thank you. And if you are a senior citizen, you're welcome to join us at the Hudson Youth Center, 10:45 to 12:15, Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Okay, thank you. And now, switching moods somewhat, I'm going to play an interview I recorded back in January with theatre director Rita Carver of the Dragonfly Performing Arts in Cairo, New York, during rehearsals for A Midsummer Night's Dream, which ran in February